Bless the Lord. It's so good to be here with all of you. And love always perseveres. A good friend of mine said that. Thank you. You did a good, Larry, you did good. Everybody who has a part, thank you for being faithful. So, Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us. And we worship your holy name. And that song, God is on the move, you certainly are on the move. Hallelujah. In many mighty ways. Today, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us about yourself and about your gifts that you want to use us in to be a blessing to others, that they would know that you're alive and well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, that bright, huh? Coming in the window. Oh, well, it is what it is. So we're looking at the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at Scripture because God's Word is truth. And you don't want to hear Mike's opinions. You want to know what the truth of the Scripture says. And that's what we're doing this morning. And we want to see what they are, how they work, and why we should want to be used by the Holy Spirit with these gifts to be a blessing to others. So, yeah, that helps. That really does help. Now you can see the word, the Holy Spirit. It looks kind of mysterious, doesn't it? It is, because he is mysterious. He moves in mysterious ways, and he got you here this morning. So there's a purpose for you listening and hearing this morning. And Chuck, thanks for your part in praying for that. So let's go to the next slide. This is what Jesus said. These are his words. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's from Acts chapter 1:8. Jesus promises the gift of the Holy Spirit to us, that he will be our comforter, he will encourage us, he'll give us strength, and he will empower us to continue Jesus' ministry. When he was on this earth, we're going to do what Jesus did. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's exactly what he has in mind. The Holy Spirit and the gifts have not changed. This promise has not changed. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So these supernatural gifts we'll be looking at of the Holy Spirit have continued from the first century when the Holy Spirit was poured out there in Acts chapter 2 and continues to be used and be a blessing to the church and unchurched today. They are meant to help reach the lost. Let's go to the next slide. Somebody want to read this for me?
Of the prophets of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Thanks, Chuck. That's great. So Paul is identifying these supernatural abilities that will be given to us as the Holy Spirit wills or desires them to be used. These are not natural abilities or heightened things that we have in us. That's why they're called supernatural manifestations of the Spirit. A manifestation simply means it's giving evidence of the Spirit's presence in his activity. That's all that that means. And these are given to equip us as the church to be a blessing to others, to be a benefit to both believers and unbelievers. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7 that the gifts are given for the profit or the benefit of all. So all these gifts that are highlighted with a little bit heavier print, these are all gifts that are available to each of us for the benefit of all. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that these gifts actually can happen. He distributes them as he wants or desires. And so to have the Holy Spirit in us, we need to be a Christian. So these gifts are only available to Christians. Does that make sense? Somebody that doesn't know the Lord can't function in any of this because the Holy Spirit doesn't live in them. And keep in mind that we have the Holy Spirit in us. It says in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You all knew that. So these particular gifts are available to every believer at any time that the Holy Spirit decides he would want to minister through you, especially to the lost. Now, he uses these gifts sometimes to believers, but in particular to people that don't know him. These gifts are very invaluable. So, next slide. These gifts, by some teachers, are called supernatural gifts, are Christians' tool of the trade, or power tools for ministry. As you'll see as we go through these, when the Holy Spirit is functioning and allows these gifts to flow through us, people will stand up and take notice. They'll know it's God, because there's no way you can do or know these things without the presence of God. And these tools will be available to be unleashed through us. It's amazing. So we're going to look closer. Let's go to the next slide. At 9 gifts of the supernatural, gifts of the Holy Spirit, revelation gifts, power gifts, and vocal or speaking gifts. The first of these are the revelation gifts. So let's go to the next slide. Okay? There are 3 revelation gifts. First is called a word of wisdom, is what the Bible calls it. It's when a person we meet needs God's wisdom. Most people we meet will probably need God's wisdom, but in particular, there'll be instances where they need practical instructions, not from our minds, but from the mind of God to them. Something beyond ordinary natural wisdom. We're talking about supernatural wisdom. Not earthly wisdom, given at the very moment it's needed. And he may give you the solution to a problem they have or a circumstance they're in or the decision they need to make. Who knows what the situation may be. Jesus manifested the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, to the Pharisees when they were trying to trap him. Remember they asked, who should they pay tax to Caesar? Do you remember when the Pharisees asked him that? If he said, don't pay to Caesar, he'd get in trouble with the Romans. If he said, pay to Caesar, then he'd get in trouble with the Jews. They thought, we got him, right? But the Holy Spirit gave him supernatural wisdom, and Jesus answered, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. That's the Holy Spirit giving him wisdom. He promised to give us this kind of wisdom at times through this gift. Many people think that Jesus did the things he did and said the things he did because he was God's son and had power to do it because he's God's son. But when Jesus became a man, he gave up his own power to become a man. And the things he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a verse that says this in Philippians 2:6-8. It says, though he was God, he did not demand his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking on the disguise of a slave, becoming like a man. And so Jesus, at any time, could have used his own power. He chose not to. And used only the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you know the story, Jesus did no miracles or anything like that until the Holy Spirit came upon him after he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. So all the things Jesus did, he was functioning in all these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit for the healings, the miracles. These are examples of these things being manifested. And Jesus, of course, was a perfect example. So one of the examples, I try to come up with personal examples, if I could come up with any. There was once when I was in Hemfield High School teaching, and I had a girl in my Bible club who came up to me in the hallway between classes. And she had a dilemma, and she had to make a decision, a hard decision, quickly. She asked me this question, and something came out of my mouth, and her eyes lit up and said, "That's exactly what I need to hear, Mr. Wise. Thank you so much." And off she went running. And I sat there stunned for a moment. I thought, I couldn't remember what she asked me, and I certainly didn't know what I said. But it was exactly what she needed. The Holy Spirit just kind of dumped it through me right there to her. I'm like, thank you, Lord. To this day, I can't remember a thing about what it was about. But that's how he functions through us at times. It's a great blessing. Next is called the word of knowledge. This is when the Holy Spirit will give you specific information pertaining to a person that in the natural there would be no way for you to know. The Holy Spirit reveals this information to you to be able to minister to them. It's kind of like you're reading their mail, but it's the Holy Spirit that reveals this. That's why it's called a word of a knowledge. Again, this is supernatural wisdom given by the Holy Spirit just at the right time. It's not from your intellect or your senses that this is. And the person that's receiving this, especially if they're an unbeliever, it'll get their attention because they'll know God told you that because there's no way you would know. And they realize that there is a God and he knows things about me. It is powerful. It may be knowledge about a sickness or a physical condition they have that the Lord wants to touch and heal. Other times it could be something about what's in their life that they need freedom from. It varies. I remember once there was a young man that came up to me, a young adult, came to my house and wanted to talk. And as soon as I said, well, come on in. As soon as he came in, the Holy Spirit revealed to me why he was there. It's one of those things, how do you know that you know? But I knew. And he was kind of hem-hawing around. I said, I know why you're here. He says, why? And I told him. He said, you're right. And he knew that was God, because I had no idea in the natural to know that. He was dealing with pornography, wanted to talk about it, how he could be free from it. And so we did. And he had freedom from it then. We prayed, and I would say, how's it going? You know, I'd see him, and yeah, I'm walking in freedom. And so that's how God works. It's a crazy thing, but it's awesome when these things function. There's so many different ways the Spirit can use a word of knowledge. Sometimes it can be a pain that's not your own. You'll get this pain in your arm or your leg or something, and you know it's not something you've done to yourself, and you might be in a worship setting or something. What he's doing is talking to you. The Spirit's telling you, somebody here has this issue, and I want you to pray for him. And because you have this, and I've seen this happen actually in services where people say, I have this pain that is not my own. There's somebody here that has this certain issue going on, and I'm supposed to be praying for you for your healing. And bing, there's a person right there, and they go and they pray for him. And oftentimes they do receive their healing. It's awesome. But if you ever get a pain that's not your own, who knew, right? Another instance that people actually have documented is that sometimes you'll see an actual word like written on their forehead. Now, it's not there in marker or something. You see it, but they don't see it. And the Holy Spirit is telling you something about that person. And that word may be like abortion. And then it's going to take wisdom on your part to discern and know how to gently talk about that with them, to minister to them. They may have had an abortion or maybe thinking about an abortion, or maybe there's somebody in their family's thinking about an abortion. You don't know the circumstances completely, so you have to kind of ask the Spirit to guide you and all that. But that's one means of doing it. It could be across their chest. It could be someone that they need forgiveness or deliverance. Who knows? But that's another way the Lord uses it. Jesus walked in this word of knowledge. The woman at the well from John 4, 16 to 18. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husbands. You have had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband." How did he know that? Well, the Holy Spirit gave him a word of knowledge. That's how that works. Now, with all this being said about a word of knowledge, sometimes we'll miss it. We're human. We're just learning to do this. We need to be gentle, and sometimes you'll have it right, and you'll say the right thing, and it's for them, and they just don't want to admit it. Be faithful. If you really sense God wanting to work in and through you, just step out in faith and do that. I had a girl at Hemfield that was part of our Bible club. She was our president, and she worked in this gift a lot. And she received a vision of this woman with a severe back problem when she was praying. That evening, she went to Park City, and she's going through the mall with a friend, and here comes this woman that she saw earlier. And she knew that she had a severe back problem. She goes up to this woman. "Hi, my name's Danielle." She is the sweetest girl, sweetest girl. And she said, "You know, earlier today, God showed me that you have a back problem." "Well, I do have a back problem." She prayed for that woman in Park City, and she received healing right there in Park City. Isn't that cool? We're talking about a 10th grade girl. That's awesome. So these are the kinds of things that God is doing. He's on the move. Hallelujah, right? Yeah. All right. And the last is discerning of spirits. This is ability to be able to discern things in the spirit realm. There's a realm we can't see where there's angels and demons, all that. And he will give you discernment to know the true sources behind people's motives and what's going on in their area. And he's the one that gives you that information. Jesus, in Matthew 16, 20 to 23, began to show the disciples that he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, suffer things by the chief priests and elders, and be killed and raised on the third day. And then Peter took him aside and says, "No, Lord, this should not be." But Jesus understood where that words were coming from. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Jesus could sense in his spirit realm what was going on, and that word was from the enemy, from the pit. And he called it out in Peter. The one moment Peter's saying, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," and the next moment he says, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. So, but Jesus knew that. So this distinguishing of spirits is an interesting gift to have. One time, I was praying for a friend who had severe stomach problems and some back problems, and I was praying for him for a long while. And I was driving along praying for my friend in my car one day, in my truck, and he said, "It's not a physical problem, it's spiritual." I said, "What?" He was giving me discernment that something of the enemy was working in this man's life that was bringing this physical ailment to him. And so I helped to minister to him, and we got rid of some things in his life, in his house, and he walked in freedom from that, and all the physical things went away. Amazing, huh? But it's discerning of these things, of spiritual things. Let's go to the power gifts next. Okay, faith, gifts of healing, and workings of miracles. Now, faith, we all have faith, or you wouldn't be a Christian. But we're talking about a unique form of faith that goes beyond saving faith or the faith even of the fruit of the Spirit. This is a supernatural faith that does not doubt in reference to a specific matter that God puts on your heart, that you know that you know that you know that this is going to take place. It may be a particular promise of his word for a particular situation. Jesus used this gift of faith when he calmed the storm in Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And when he said, "Peace, be still," he knew that when he would say that, it would get still. And in Matthew 17, 20 to 21, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, little bit, you will say to this mountain or this problem or this issue, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." We read this stuff, but sometimes it takes a while to get from here to here. It just does. So this supernatural faith, this gift of the Holy Spirit, when it's working, will give an individual unshakable confidence that God's going to do this. A personal example that I thought I would share is I was asked by the parents of a young adult man to minister to their son who was in the psych ward in Lancaster. He was doing all kinds of strange things that he shouldn't have been doing, and he was a Christian. And I asked another friend to go along with me, and we went in there. We both had a sense that before we leave, he's going to be delivered and free. I can't explain it. We just knew that we knew. We're going in on a mission by the Holy Spirit, and this young man's going to walk out in freedom. And we went in there, and this thing started talking. It was a demonic voice and a different voice than his voice. And we dealt with it, cast it out in Jesus' name, and the next day he was released from the hospital. It was perfectly fine. It had no more issues. It's crazy. But we both knew that we knew that was going to happen. It was the Lord. It wasn't me. But we're vessels that he works through. Next is gifts of healing. Notice it's gifts. It's a plural thing. So when the Holy Spirit will work through us to bring healing to somebody without medical treatments, without, medicine or things like that, but supernaturally touching them. And usually this gift happens immediately or quickly in the near future. It's not something that goes on and on, but usually something that happens kind of quickly. Jesus used this gift with Peter's mother-in-law. Of course, Jesus used this gift of healings often, but one was with his mother-in-law. So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. It's like, cool. That was a gift of the healing working. In the early church, of course, in the book of Acts, Paul was ministering in Lystra, and he saw a certain man whose feet were not working, was crippled from birth, and had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up, straight on your feet," and he leaped and walked. Gift of healings working. I've been privileged to be used in this gift many times. I don't know why sometimes certain people are used in one gift more than another, and sometimes never in some gifts. I don't understand all that, but the Lord has used me in different occasions. And it's not me healing them. I can't heal anybody, but I'm just a vessel. One was with a man named Jeff, who was in a class I was taking when I was getting ordained. And the Holy Spirit told me, "I want you to go pray for Jeff, for his back, for healing." And of course, I didn't. I went home. I thought, I don't want to, And the Lord reprimanded me. I mean, I really got reprimanded by the Holy Spirit. And the next week, I never said anything to this man. The next week, he said to me, "Mike, you're supposed to have prayed for me last week." I'm like, "Oh, brother." He says, "I want prayer." And so I prayed for his healing, and his back was in great, he was in great pain. He was healed. He was healed. It's like, ugh. So the Lord is a God of second chances, isn't he? Thankfully. Sometimes it looks hard. Of course it is hard. But at any rate, that's our amazing God. There's a woman that I knew who was a wife of a pastor. She, on different occasions, her palms of her hands would get hot. The Holy Spirit manifests on her hands like that, and she knew that there's someone near her that needed healing. She just had to place her hands on them, and they received a healing. How awesome is that? People say, that doesn't happen. Sure, it surely did, and she is the most unassuming person you'd ever want to meet. Just a fine Christian woman, but not flaky or weird or anything like that. She was just a normal woman of God, but he would do this. And I said, put your hands on me. It doesn't work like that, she said. Now then, working in miracles. This is power, again, that's not naturally done. You know what miracles are. Some people say, oh, it's a birth of a child. That's a miracle. Well, not really, according to biblical definition of what a miracle is. It's taking something in the natural and taking it completely around with extraordinary results occurring, like Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. The guy's dead 4 days, and he says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes out, and he's alive. That's a miracle. This is the Greek word dunamis, which means miraculous power. That's where we get the word dynamite, dunamis, working in us. And the dunamis is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We have dynamite in us, wanting to come out and through us. We're just the channels for it. Like these things are conduits that channel the electricity, the power. We're just a conduit. That pipe is nothing. It's what runs through it, though. Boy, that's where the power is, and that's what the Holy Spirit is for us. Let's go to the next set of gifts, vocal or speaking gifts. The first is prophecy. The name prophecy can be confusing because, first of all, it's a motivational gift, and it's also one of the fivefold ministry gifts. But this form of prophecy as a supernatural gift is different than those two. That's why I said it can be confusing. It's a gift of the Spirit where we receive a word from the Spirit, divine disclosure of information, similar to a word of knowledge. It may be instructions. It may be insights to a person. And it's always given to encourage that person and comfort that person and give them direction in their life. If you've ever been prophesied over by someone, it's a great blessing when they do that. The first time I got this done to me was at Effort Community Church. And the guy said, if anybody has never had this done, come on up. So I went up and he said, what's your name? I said, my name's Mike. And he started telling me things that even Luann didn't really know. I'm like, it's scary in some ways, but it was all encouraging. It's all encouraging to me. All the things he said. The first thing he said is, Mike, the Lord says you're a Mike, a mouthpiece. All he asked me was my name. It's amazing how God works in these ways. One prophetic word that I received when I was at a conference, I go to a lot of conferences at HarvestNet at Effort Community Church, and they always have a time of ministry, they call it, where you go up and there's a team of people that pray over you and ask God to receive prophetic words, this gift in action. And they don't know who you are. They say, what's your name? And you give them your name, and that's all they know. And this particular word came, and we were getting ready for our life cycles right across the country in 2021. And this was a ways away, and we were way short of the money we needed to make the trip a go. I mean, way short. We were thinking we might not be able to make this trip. This is kind of on my heart because we wanted to take these kids across the country. And so these people had no clue about life cycles, didn't know anything about me. And this is what they said. The Holy Spirit says you work with youth and you have a financial need for resources. They said God will supply and you will have more than enough money to take your planned trip. I latched onto that and I said, thank you, Lord. I know what you're talking about. And he did. He fulfilled. We have more than enough money for our trip then. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. I mean, how do these people ever know? But it was a great blessing for me. I remember once, Chuck, you were at Cornerstone, and we were ministering there prophetically, and you were given a single word. And you didn't know what that word meant. You had no idea who it was for. You just said what the Lord told you to say, right? Do you remember what the word was? You don't. I know it was a single word, though. And it was for one of the leaders in that church. And when they received that, they said, I know what that word is for. That word is for me. It was a great blessing for her. A single word. That's all it might be. The Lord can use even just the smallest things like that. So these prophetic words can also be given to a church or a group of church leaders. There's a man in the Bible named Agabus in Acts 11. He came from Jerusalem to Antioch and gave a message through the Spirit, a prophetic word. He stood up and showed by the Spirit that there's going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the Holy Spirit gave him a prophetic word to that church there that this is going to happen, and so they could get resources and funds to help the people that were going to need it. That's the Holy Spirit in action. Pretty cool, huh? Next one is called different kinds of tongues. Now we're talking about tongues. We're not talking about the physical thing in your mouth. We're talking about the ability to speak in another language. This is done during a worship service, public worship service, where someone will give a message in a language they never learned. How strange is that, right? And this message is to bring comfort and encouragement to the people gathered there to worship. And there is a prayer tongue or a prayer language that we can communicate to God privately in a prayer language, but this is different than that. This is something that you say out to the whole congregation gathered, a message from God, and which will be comforting or encouraging. This happened in Acts chapter 2. These disciples never learned languages, and they were speaking these languages, and what were they saying? They were speaking the wonderful works of God. The people that understood those languages heard them saying it, but they didn't know what they were saying. So, with this gift in action, somebody says something in a tongue, in a language, none of us know. So, how are we going to know what the message is? To be comforted and encouraged, right? That's where the next gift comes in, interpretation of tongues. This person is given the ability to understand what was said in that strange language. It doesn't mean they're given the direct translation, word for word necessarily, but given the general gist or the interpretation, the general meaning of what was spoken so everybody can understand it and be encouraged by it. This actually happened at New Beginnings a number of years ago. Some of you may recall this, I don't know. That during our worship and praise time, in the middle of a song, one of our members shouted out loudly this message in another tongue. But there was no interpretation given at the time, and so none of us could be encouraged by it. And this was all new for us. And what I didn't know is that somebody came up to me a week later and said, Mike, I was given the interpretation of that, and I was too scared to do it. It takes two, right? Someone brave enough to be able to say the message, and another person brave enough to give the interpretation of it. And so it was there. So God was working. The Holy Spirit was working. We just missed it. And that's what happens when you learn to work in these gifts. Sometimes you miss it, or sometimes you don't quite hit it. But God's not going to be like getting on your case. We're learning. So we're all learning. Amazingly, let's go to the next slide. All these nine gifts have been made available to every Christian. The Holy Spirit, in his wisdom, sovereignly chooses which persons to give this to. But in order to be used in these gifts, we need to be open to them. We need to be available and ready to accomplish the Spirit's purposes at any time throughout our day. Whether that be at a worship service on a Sunday, or whether when you're in the grocery store during the week, you just never know when he's going to be prompting you to minister to somebody through one of these gifts. Just be ready. Let's go to the next slide. So are you ready? He will come and do this at the darndest times to interrupt your schedule. I know me, I'm a person that's like, I have this to do and that to do. And, you know, we got to be able to just have some leeway to do what he wants us to do to be a blessing to other people. I don't know. Probably the Lord, Chuck, if he's telling you to open your Bible. That's how the Lord works. When we least suspect it and people put things on their heart and their minds to bless, be a blessing to someone. Praise God is right. What a blessing, right? Thank you, Lord. You know, as much as we all love Chuck, how much more does the Lord love Chuck? See his needs, prompt somebody to act on what they sense to do. And what a blessing. That's exactly what we're talking about here with all these gifts. God wants to use us to bless people, to know how much God loves them and cares about them and sees their needs and things. I mean, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I'll be honest with you, these gifts, although they're available to every believer, oftentimes the Holy Spirit, well, I'll say more than often than not, the Holy Spirit moves through people who are filled or baptized with this Spirit. And this understanding, a lot of people don't understand, but in Acts chapter 6, when they were calling the early deacons in the church, they get some prerequisites. They said, "Therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, whom you may pour over this business." Why would that be a prerequisite to be a deacon, to be full of the Holy Spirit, if every Christian is already full of the Holy Spirit? See what I'm saying? It's because we aren't full of the Holy Spirit all the time. Sometimes we need to be refilled again. Another example in Acts chapter 8. Go to the next slide. And the next slide. There we go. This is when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received this Holy Spirit. What is this saying? It's saying that Peter and John came down to these people who had been baptized in Jesus' name in water. They were believers. They had the Holy Spirit in them, but he was not yet fallen upon them. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, there's a difference. It's right here it is in the Word. And when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And the people around them saw the things that were going on after they received the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in tongues. That's when Simon wanted to buy this gift to be able to do this. And they said, no, no. So this is in the Word. But unfortunately, there is this need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit that is not taught in many churches. And hence, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are hindered because we're not full of the Holy Spirit as we should be oftentimes. And so the work of the Spirit's handicapped, impeded in individuals' lives and in the life of the church. Let's go to the next slide. Just imagine. This is crazy. This, by the way, this is the Bible of Thomas Jefferson. Anything supernatural he didn't like, so he cut out with a sharp knife. Pretty pathetic, huh? Just imagine a Bible without the gifts of the Holy Spirit working. No power, no miracles. What would the Bible be like without him? What if Ananias never went to Paul and laid hands on him and healed his eyes? Where would we be? Or if Peter had not gone with those men that were sent to Cornelius' house to be led to know that the Gentiles are part of the church. I mean, these are all supernatural things going on. And if we cut them all out and they're not available, there would be nothing left that's of any great thing. But, you know, yet these gifts of the Spirit are oftentimes missing among us. They are good and they're greatly needed now. And the Bible's clear on this, that we're to move in these supernatural gifts. Again, we can't do it on our own, but we need to be sensitive enough to the Spirit to know that he wants to move through us and allow him to do that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Can I ask you this? Do you earnestly desire spiritual gifts? Truthfully. As long as you can live without the gifts flowing through you, you will. Once you start seeking the giver of these gifts and the gifts with all your heart, guess what? You'll start working in them. He'll use you with these. Desire is the test. Desire fuels the quest to allow the Spirit to work in and through you. So if you really want to know and how to do something, set out to go after that thing. It's not going to come to you nicely packaged and all. You need to start reading back over this list of gifts and start asking the Holy Spirit, use me in these. I want to be used by you. I want to be a vessel for you to be a blessing to someone else. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, right? And if you really want these gifts, you'll figure it out and you'll desire them and say, Holy Spirit, I'm available today. Where do you want to use me? Boy, is he looking for that kind of a prayer, right? For all of us. And if you know you need to be refilled, and we all do, we're leaky. If you need to be refilled with the Spirit, ask him to refill you. If you've never been baptized or filled with the Spirit, ask him to do that, that he would fill you with himself. I know when I first started desiring to be filled with the Spirit, I asked the Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And I knew I wasn't. I could just sense. I said, I kept going. I went to all these services with Dove Christian Fellowship, and they'd have the people come up. If you want to receive the baptism, oh, yeah. And I was up there, and people were laying hands on me. I thought I was going to go bald. I had so many people laying hands on my head. And then once this person, after a, I don't know how many services I was at, and the next person, he's like, Mike, all you got to do is thank him for it. It's a gift. It's yours. You don't have to do anything. Just thank him for it, and by faith, just receive it. And I did. And I was. It's like, man, that's too easy. I thought, my gosh, why do I make it so hard? I'm just thick. I'm sorry. It's just who I am. I don't know. But God is just wanting to do awesome things. And when these gifts are flowing through you, the people that are touched, they'll know it. They'll know it's God. They won't be able to deny it. And you'll see the same thing happen with people in restaurants, grocery stores, just crying. They'll sense the Lord in you. And it's his love, like Nicole said. It's his love that's going to be coming out through you to them with these gifts. And it's awesome. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these awesome gifts of your Spirit. They're truly amazing. And we admit, oftentimes we have not earnestly desired them. Lord, we want to earnestly desire them. We want to see your signs and wonders following the speaking of your word. This moment onward, Lord, we pray that we would desire to be faithful to your call, to earnestly desire spiritual gifts, to let your Spirit flow through us to others, to confirm that what you say in your word is the truth, Lord God. And as we seek you and these gifts, help us to release, help our faith to be released in us, Lord, that these miraculous things would flow in and through us, that we'd be in tune to your still small voice throughout our day, to your slightest promptings, and expecting you to move in and through us to see the captives set free and people to be healed by the power of Jesus' name. I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. I know they desire to walk in these very things. And so do it, Lord. I say do it, Lord, in and through each of us. And next week, I pray we'll have some awesome testimonies of how these gifts flowed in and through us to be a blessing to others. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
May I say something, Mike?
Sure.